بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، we continue reading what Sheikh Abdul Rahman ibn Nasir al-Sa'di رحمه الله تعالى he has mentioned with regards to the definition and the interpretation of al-Iman. He said رحمه الله تعالى فهذه أكبر المنن أن يحبب الإيمان للعبد ويزينه في قلبه ويذيقه حلاوته وتنقاد جوارحه للعمل بشرائع الإسلام بشرائع الإسلام ويبغض إليه أسناف المحرمات والله عليم بمن يستحق أن يتفضل عليه بهذا الفضل حكيم في وضعه في محله اللائق به. That this is the greatest gift and blessing. The greatest gift and blessing is that Allah, He will make the faith beloved to a person, and He will adorn his heart with faith, with Iman, and He will cause him to taste the sweetness of faith, and He will cause him to taste the sweetness of faith, and his body parts, they will comply in application to the sacred rites and the legislative actions of Al-Islam. And also that Allah, He would make detestful to the heart of a person all different types of actions that are impermissible and forbidden. And Allah, He is the most knowledgeable of the one who deserves for him to bestow this grace and bounty upon. And likewise, Allah, He is the most wise in placing this bounty and blessing, in placing this grace and blessing in a place that is suitable. كما ثبت في الصحيح من حديث أنس رضي الله عنه أنه صلى الله عليه وسلم قال, just as has been affirmed in the authentic collections from the hadith of Anas رضي الله عنه, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, ثلاث من كن فيه وجد بهن حلاوة الإيمان, that there are three characteristics, ثلاث يعني ثلاث خصال ثلاث صفات. There are three characteristics or traits that whoever has them, then he will find by way of them the sweetness of faith. He will find by way of them the sweetness of faith. Halawat al-Iman. Halawa, it means sweetness, literally. Halawatul Iman. So just as food, it has a halawa. Just as the food and the drink, it has a sweetness that is a delight for a person to enjoy and to taste. Likewise, the faith. Likewise, the faith in al-Iman, it has a sweetness that the heart it tastes and enjoys, that the heart it takes delight in and tastes and enjoys. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioning now there are three affairs that one must perform, that one must be upon, three characteristics and traits that one must have in order to find this sweetness. The first one, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أن يكون الله ورسوله أحب إليه مما سواهما, that Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will be more beloved to him than everyone besides them, than everything besides them, any everyone and everything besides them. This is number one, that Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will be more beloved to a person than everything else from this life, everything else. The second affair, أن يحب المرأة, أن يحب المرأة لا يحبه إلا لله. And the second affair is that a person, he will love an individual and he will not love him except for the sake of Allah. That he will love someone and he will only love him for the sake of Allah. وأن يكره أن يرجع عن دينه كما يكره أن يقذف في النار, and that he will dislike to go back and apostate from his religion, just as he would dislike to be cast into a fire, just as he would dislike to be cast into the fire. So these are the three affairs. The one who obtains them, the one who strives to obtain them, then he will taste by way of these affairs the sweetness of faith. الشيخ السعدي رحمه الله, he mentions, فذكر أصل الإيمان الذي هو محبة الله ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. So therefore, in this narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned the foundation of faith. Asl al-Iman, the foundation of al-Iman, which is to love Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is the foundation of faith and the foundation of the deen. To love Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The origin and the foundation and the obligation first and foremost is to love Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the only one that is love for the sake of His self. That is love for Himself subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يُحَبُّ لِذَاتِهِ وَلَا يُحَبُّ لِذَاتِهِ سِوَاهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. He is the one who's loved for Himself because of Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, and everything after that is loved for His sake. Even the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam is not allowed to love Him for the sake of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but rather to love the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam for the sake of Allah, for the sake of Allah. But the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam in this situation here has a greater right than the rest of the creation. Than the rest of the creation, and it's an obligation to love Him more than the creation. It's an obligation to love the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam more than everything in the creation. So therefore, the foundation is to love Allah and to love His Messenger. But the reality of loving the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam is from loving Allah. But the Messenger, he has a special right above the rest of the people, and it's an obligation to love him more than the rest of the people. More than the rest of the people and the rest of the wealth and prosperity and everything in this life. So therefore, one, he loves Allah alone. He loves Allah alone for the sake of Allah. And everything else that he loves is for the sake of Allah. It's for the sake of Allah. You don't, Allah, he is the only one who is loved independently. That's the point, huh? يُحَبُّ لِذَاتِهِ, and that he's loved independently. Independently for the sake of Allah alone. As for everything besides him, it's love for the sake of Allah. We understand the point. Some people, they will say that they أنهم يحبون النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لذاته, that they love the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم for his sake. This is shirk. Shaykh al-Islam, he has affirmed this, and it's a well-known issue. To love something besides Allah for the sake of that thing, even if it's the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, this is shirk. This is shirk. And this is associating partners and not allowed. This is associating partners and not allowed. So therefore, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his love for the sake of Allah. His love for the sake of Allah. So the Shaykh is saying now that in this narration, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned the foundation of faith. And that is to love Allah and to love His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. وَلَا يَكْتَفِي بِمُطْلَقِ الْمَحَبَّةِ, and it's not sufficient, or one must not, it's not allowed to suffice with just simple love, huh? Or just to have the love, or just to love them, yani in this manner. بَلْ لَا بُدَّ أَن تَكُونَ مَحَبَّةُ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ مُقَدَّمَةً عَلَى جَمِيعِ الْمَحَابِّ. But rather, it's an obligation that the love of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam takes precedence over the love of everything else. Takes precedence over the love of everything else. So the point now here is that the foundation is not to simply love Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In this issue here, loving Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as he mentioned, is aslu al-iman. So based upon that, all of the believers, they share in this issue. All of the believers, they share in this issue. All of them love Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All of them love Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And likewise, Allah, He loves all of the believers. He loves all of the believers. But their love for Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not the same. All of the believers are not equal in their love for Allah and their love for the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in turn, likewise, the love that they have from Allah is not equal. We understand the point. But the obligation is for every believer to love Allah and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than everything else. More than everything that is beloved. يعني أن تكون محبة الله أن تكون محبة الله ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم مقدمة على جميع المحاب. That the love of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will take precedence and be in front of all of the things that are beloved to a person. All of the things that are beloved to a person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He summarized the mahab. Al-mahab, yani the things that are beloved to the people. There are many. There are many things in this life that the hearts desire and they love, that the souls take delight in and that they love, and that they like and they're fond of. But they can be summarized in eight affairs. The people of Nadas mentioned that they're al-mahab al-thamaniya. Al-mahab al-thamaniya. And it has come in Surah At-Tawbah. قُلْ إِنْ كَانَ أَبَاءُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاءُكُمْ وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ وَعَشِيرَتُكُمْ وَأَمْوَالٌ اقْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا وتجارة تخشون كسادها ومساكين ترضونها أحب إليكم من الله ورسوله وجهاد في سبيله فتربسوا حتى يأتي الله بأمره. So these are the eight affairs that Allah has mentioned in Surah At-Tawbah, that it's incumbent that the love of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the love of striving and fighting in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, takes precedence over these things. قُلْ إِنْ كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ The father, say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if your fathers, إِنْ كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ أَوْ أَبَنَاؤُكُمْ your children, your sons, your daughters, أَوْ إِخْوَانُكُمْ أَوْ your brothers, أَوْ أَزْوَاجُكُمْ أَوْ عَشِيرَتُكُمْ or your wives or your spouses, say if your fathers or your children, your son or your daughter, or your brothers, any of your brothers and sisters, your spouses, or your kinsmen, your family, your relatives, or amwalun iqtaraftumuha. How many was that? Your fathers, your children, your brothers, your spouses, your relatives, and then your wealth that you have earned, and your business and commerce that you are afraid to take a loss in, and your dwellings, your homes, and your residences that you love and that you like. If there are more beloved Allah and His Messenger and striving in the path of Allah, فَتَرَبَّسُوا. This is a threat. فَتَرَبَّسُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِي. فَتَرَبَّسُوا أَيْنِ فَانْتَظِرُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِي أَيْ بِعَذَابِهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. Then just wait until Allah, He brings His command. The people of Nara, as I mentioned the meaning of this, until Allah, He brings His punishment. That if these things take precedence over the love of Allah and His Messenger, and striving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then just wait until Allah brings His punishment. So therefore, to give precedence to the love of these things over the love of Allah and the love of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and striving in the path of Allah, this is a reason for punishment. So therefore, from the greater obligations, rather the foundation of the religion is that the loving of Allah and His Messenger takes precedence over all of these things. That a man or a woman, they love Allah and the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than they love their parents, their mother and their father. More beloved than their mother and their father. It's natural, ingrained, created in the human being. From the decree of Allah that a man he loves, that a person loves this his parents, that a person he loves his children, that a person he loves his brother, his brethren, and his brother and sister, that a person he loves his relatives, and that a person he loves wealth, and that a person he loves prosperity and business and trade and commerce and profit and gain and the worldly affairs, and that he loves to have a comfortable and nice home. And it's allowed to love these things. But what's not allowed is to love them more than Allah and His Messenger. That the love of these things take precedence over the love of Allah and His Messenger. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So therefore, a believing man and a believing woman, he loves Allah and he loves the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, more than he loves his mother and father. More than he loves his son and his daughter. More than he loves his brother and his sister. More than he loves his aunt and his uncle and the rest of his kindred and the rest of his kinsmen and relatives. More than he loves his own wealth. More than he loves his own wealth. More than he loves yani his business and his money and his income. More than he loves his home and his residence and his homeland and a life like this. He loves Allah more than these things. He loves the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than these things. And this is the obligation of faith. And this is an obligation of faith. إِنْ كَانَ أَحَبَّ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَجِهَادٍ فِي سَبِيلِهِ فَتَرَبَّسُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِهِ يعني فَانْتَظِرُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِعَذَابِهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. Then just wait until Allah, He brings His punishment. So this is a threat here. So this is what the Shaykh is referring to now. It's an obligation. Yani this is the foundation of faith, to love Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but it's not sufficient to suffice with simple love, with general love, which all of the believers share in, but rather what is incumbent and an obligation is that the love of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be put forward and shown precedence to the love of all of the things that are left. And these are summarized in those eight affairs. These are summarized in those eight affairs. This is the first issue mentioned in this narration. After this, he clarifies the second sentence, the second affair. وَذَكَرَ تَفْرِيَهَا. And then likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned that which stems from this. And this is the asl. And there is a branch stemming from that asl. What is it? بِأَنْ يُحِبَّ لِلَّهِ وَيُبْغِضَ لِلَّهِ. That he loves for the sake of Allah, and that he hates and detests for the sake of Allah. And this branch, of course, is stemming from that foundation. So similar, like has preceded the foundation, if it's strong, then the branches will be high and strong and beautiful and plentiful with lots of fruits and benefit. And if that foundation is weaker, then the branches will be weaker accordingly. Will be weaker accordingly. Everybody with this? So therefore the foundation is to love Allah and His Messenger more than everything else, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Proceeding from that is to love for the sake of Allah. To love for the sake of Allah. And the one who's going to love someone and love for their sake, then he must detest what the beloved detests too. Because it's not understood or could not be comprehended that someone will love somebody and then love what they dislike likewise. And the one who truly loves somebody, he will never love that which the beloved dislikes and detests. Rather, he will love what he will love the beloved, and that love will carry him to love what the beloved loves. An example of that, the hadith of Anas radiallahu anhu, whenever he seen that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana yatatabba'u ad-duba', that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the food was presented to him, there was a plate, a dish that had different types of food in it. From that was the pumpkin. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to look in the dish for the pumpkin, and he would find it and he would eat it and select it. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Anas, he started to do the same thing. And it was because of this that he learned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was looking for the pumpkin, looking for the dubbah like this, that now he began to love that. Now he began to love that because of how much he loves the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Messenger, he loves this food. I love this food. The Messenger is looking for this food, now I'm going to look for this food likewise, like this, because of the love carried him like this. And this is the case. When a person truly loves in this manner, that love will carry him to love what his beloved loves. Because if he loves something the beloved loved, now he's putting his love, his beloved, in sacrifice and danger. And possibly that now if the beloved finds out that he loves something that they don't love or they don't like, this could cause them to turn away and he will lose the love of the beloved. And this is something that lover will never hope to face. And so this is the case of love. But here we're talking about the love of Allah and the love of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the one who truly loves him, he will love for the sake of Allah. And he will love what Allah loves. And this will require him to detest what Allah detests. فَيُحِبُّ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءَ وَالصَّالِحِينَ. So therefore, based upon this, then he will love the prophets, and he will love the truthful, and he will love the martyrs, and he will love the righteous. لِأَنَّهُمْ قَامُوا بِمَحَابِ اللَّهِ وَاخْتَصَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ خَلْقِهِ. Because, and he will love them. Why would he love them? Why would he love the prophets? And why would he love the truthful, the people of Siddiqiyya? Why would he love the martyrs and the righteous people? Because they are the ones who established the things that Allah loves. So because of them establishing and performing and being upon what Allah loves, they love them for that. They love them for that. So there, if there is a brother or a sister, or any of the, for the brothers a brother, or for the sisters the sisters, in this manner like this, if there is an individual, and that individual is known for establishing the affairs that Allah loves, then it's incumbent to love them for that. If there's two, both of them establish those affairs that Allah loves, one of them he does it in a more better manner, and he's more proficient and better and a higher level than that, and it's an obligation to love him more, because he's establishing more of the affairs that the beloved loves. More of the affairs that Allah loves, loving for the sake of Allah. Loving for the sake of Allah. Do you understand that? This is the case. لِأَنَّهُمْ قَامُوا بِمَحَبِّ اللَّهِ وَاخْتَصَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ خَلْقِهِ. Because, loving them, because they're the ones who are establishing the things that Allah loves. and Allah, He has selected them from amongst His creation. Yani for this affair, He has chosen them. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the explanation of the second any point in the narration. After that, he says, وَذَكَرَ دَفْعَ مَا يُنَاقِضُهُ وَيُنَافِيهِ. And then after that, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned repelling and avoiding, staying away from everything that is contrary to that, and that would negate that. And everything that is contrary to that, and that which would negate that. And everything that is contrary to the love of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and loving that which Allah loves, and hating that which Allah hates. And so now one will establish these affairs, and also must avoid and stay away from everything that's contrary to that, and everything that brings deficiency to that, and everything that negates that and opposes that. This is what the narration contains here. This is what is being derived. These benefits are being derived in this manner. وَأَنُّهُ يَكْرَهُ أَنْ يَرْجِيَ عَنْ دِينِهِ أَعْظَمَ كَرَاهَةٍ بِقَدَرٍ أَعْظَمَ مِنْ كَرَاهَةِ إِلْقَائِهِ فِي النَّارِ. And that means that he would dislike to turn back from his religion, meaning to apostate. A greater dislike, and to dislike that in a greater manner, in a greater amount, than he would dislike to be cast into the fire. Then the amount that he would dislike to be cast into the fire. So now we have the issue of apostation. That this is the most detestable thing. This is the most detestable, the most disgusting thing in the heart of a wali'adhu billah. He would seek refuge with Allah from this. And he's just hearing that word, arridda. Yani arridda, to apostate and to turn back from al-Islam. You need to become a Christian, or wali'adhu billah, to become a Jew, or to become a pagan or a Buddhist, or to disbelieve in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or to mock the religion, or to belittle the sunnah. Or to laugh at the people of obedience because of their obedience. All of these affairs, mocking their religion, anything that would take a person out of the religion is from the most detestable things. A person, he hates this. And he hates the idea of him losing his religion the way that he hates, or more than the way that he hates, the idea of being cast into a fire. Some people have read this narration and they misunderstood the situation. That what is being discussed here is not the issue of al-ikrah. Al-ikrah is compulsion. If a believer is in a state of compulsion, there's ease in the religion of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and it's allowed for him to make a statement of disbelief. For example, if there was a real situation and someone said to an individual that you must curse the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or will cast you into a fire. Is this what the narration is referring to? La. What in this situation, what is allowed? Allowed for him to do that while his heart, وَقَلْبُهُ مُطْمَئِنُّ بِالْإِيمَانِ وَقَلْبُهُ مُطْمَئِنُّ بِالْإِيمَانِ. He knows in his heart that he loves the Messenger. He's only saying that to avoid this greater harm. That's not what's being referred to here. What's being referred to here is not this situation. What's being referred to here is what is incumbent to be in the heart of a believer. In this situation, no doubt there's ease in the religion, and it's allowed for a believer to take the rukhsah, the license and the permissibility to say that bad word while his heart is feeling safe. What is intended here in order to taste the sweetness of faith, that in the heart of a believer, that if he had these two ideas, we'll take the second one first, just so that we can understand, in the worldly affair. The idea of being cast into a fire. The idea of some individuals creating a fire. Individuals who are strong and they're not playing. Imagine. Individuals who are strong and they're not playing. And they start a fire. And they come and they take somebody by force. A man, he's alone. He has no one with him to help him. And they come and they overpower him. And they take him by force and they put him in the fire. And if he tries to get out, they put him back in the fire. While he's alive. This is something that's devastating. This is something that a believer who never hoped to happen to him or any of his loved ones or any of the believers, that someone would come in this manner, overpower him in this manner and place him in a fire and force him to remain in the fire until he dies in that manner. What does the heart say about this? This idea right here. How does one's soul feel about that? Huh? It's terrified. A'udhu billah. They would never want that to happen. Never, he would never want that to have this. The way he would never, in his heart, in his mind, he would never want that to happen. Greater than that, that he would leave his religion. Greater than that, that he will stop praying. The same way, ever somebody would ever overpower me and put me, no, I hope never that would happen. Likewise, greater than that in the heart of a believer is that that I would never ever leave Islam. That I would ever become a Christian. That I would ever leave Salat, or that I would ever do anything that would take me out of the deen. That in the heart of a believer, this is what is intended here. That in his heart, whenever he thinks about throwing and being thrown in the fire, no doubt he doesn't like that. But likewise, more than that, the disliking more than that, that he would lose his religion. That he would lose his religion. That he would be led astray until he disbelieved that he was not a Muslim anymore. A'udhu billah. A'udhu billah. A'udhu billah. So this is what is intended here. A believer, he has to have this in his heart. He loves Islam this much. This much. That this is what is intended. In this manner, he'll find the sweetness of faith. And if he truly loves Allah Azza wa Jal, and he loves the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he loves for the sake of Allah, and he loves what Allah loves, and he dislikes what Allah dislikes, وَلَا يَرْضَى بِعِبَادِهِ الْكُفْرِ. And Allah, he is not pleased for his slaves, kufr. When تَشْكُرُوا يَرْضَهُ لَكُمْ. And if you show thanks, then he is pleased for that. And he with tawheed. So the point is that Allah, he doesn't love disbelief, and neither does a believer. And neither does a believer. How much does he dislike disbelief? More than he dislikes to be cast in a fire. That's the meaning of the narration. So we shouldn't mix those two affairs up. You understand? This is a great point. So the Shaykh, he says, رحمه الله وأخبر في هذا الحديث أن للإيمان حلاوة في القلب. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he is informed in this narration that faith at iman, it has a sweetness in the heart. That the faith at iman, it has a sweetness in the heart. And this is the case. Iman, it has a sweetness in the heart, but not all of the believers taste it all of the time. Some of them will reach that level and taste it from time to time, and others, they taste it rarely. And others, they taste it often, and we ask Allah from His grace and from His mercy. But this goes back to striving and the obedience of Allah, and to truly be sincere with Allah and with oneself. To be sincere with Allah with oneself. Because the issue, as the people of knowledge, they mention from them Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah, that to make this claim is easy. To make this claim is easy. I love Allah and I love the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and as has preceded every believer, no doubt he has that foundation. But the application of that love is not as easy as it is to say that. And there are times whenever there are trials and tests, and many times whenever a person is faced with something his parents love, or something his children, his son or his daughter loves, Or the likes like this, over the command of Allah, or showing precedence to rights. Sometimes there are rights that are there, and the parents, they have a greater right than the child, and so on and so forth. And the husband has a greater right than the parents, and so on and so forth. And the husband has a greater right than the child, so on and so forth. And if a person has love for his child, and he's not careful, then maybe he could show preference to the love of his child and give that right, and skip the right of his mother or father, or skip the right of the husband or the wife and the likes like this because of that love. إِنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةً وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ أَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. That, O you who believe, verily your wealth and your children is a trial and a test. Is a trial and a test. So at this time, whenever somebody loves something other than Allah, and then there are rights that take precedence over for that person, but that person wants to himself to take preference. And then if a person gives him that right when he doesn't deserve it, that's called oppression. And that's called hawa. And showing preference to the love of one's soul and one's heart over the love of Allah. Because Allah has decreed, for example, the parent, the right is greater than the child. And that the husband, the right is greater than the child. And so on and so forth. And this is an example. This is an example that one can see, and in order to weigh these things. So whenever there's competition between these affairs, one will look which one is more beloved to Allah. I have to give this person his right and that person their right. Now there's a competition between the two rights that I have to give. So what do I do? My heart wants to give the right to this one because I love this one more. So do I follow my desire? La. What is the way to decide? To see which one Allah Azza wa Jal has decreed, and to follow that and to seek the pleasure of Allah. Because if a person is going to try to please that person or that person, then he's going to always be in toil. And he's going to always be going back and forth. This one wants his right and that one wants to take his right. And this one loves that one and ready to help him take his right, either consciously or unconsciously. It's a battle. It's a battle. The only way out from that is to move for the sake of Allah. And to be like, I love you and I love you, but I love Allah more. And Allah has decreed that I give him his right over yours, so I give him his right. I'll give him his right. You understand that? And if this is the case. So as is mentioned, these affairs are easy to talk about, but whenever it comes down to application in real life situation, in one's house, in one's home, in one's living room, or his kitchen, or one's job, or one's work, with his money, and you know, all of, this is an example, but all of these affairs, the love of Allah has to take preference over all of these affairs. Over all of these affairs. And so this is whenever the test comes. And the life is full of tests. Any circumstances one will find himself in, with his children, with his wife, with her husband, with the colleague, with the co-worker, with the job, yani the business partner, so on and so forth. In these cases, whenever one, he knows what Allah loves. He knows what Allah commands. And the people are commanding other than that. And his soul is commanding other than that. What does he do? Now he has to fight himself and move in that which he knows from the knowledge and from the legislation, from the light of the sunnah, and choose the choice for the sake of Allah. If one does not do this, he will never be happy. He will never be happy. His happiness will be short-lived, and then it will be followed up with toil and agony and heartache and pain, and he will suffer. But whenever one is sincere and he moves for the sake of Allah, even if one of those things that he loves and he loses it or becomes angry with him for a moment, in the end Allah will cause him to be on the top and have victory. Ibn Qayyim, he mentioned in at least three of his books, I have found different books, different yani interpretations, different subjects and topics, yani revolving around the same affair, the condition of the heart. And he mentioned that من أحب شيئا غير الله سبحانه وتعالى عذب به, that whoever loves something other than Allah, he'll be punished by that thing. It has come in إغاثة الأحفان that he mentioned, rahimahullah, أن من أحب شيئا سوى الله تعالى ولم تكن محبته له لله ولا لكونه معينا له على طاعته عذب به في الدنيا قبل اللقاء. That whoever loves something other than Allah, and he didn't love him for the sake of Allah, nor did he love him because he helped him obey Allah. Meaning, and to love something other than Allah is allowed if you love it for the sake of Allah. And it's also allowed to love that other thing besides Allah if it's something that helps you to be obedient to Allah. He didn't love him for this. He loved something other than Allah, not for these two reasons. What will happen? عُذِّبَ بِهِ فِي الدُّنْيَا قَبْلَ اللِّقَاءِ. That he'll be punished by that thing. That thing will be a punishment for him. That thing that he loves before, his son, his wife, his husband, his daughter, his mother, his father, his kinsmen, his wealth, his job, his prosperity. He loves that more than Allah without one of these reasons, then that thing will be the means for his punishment. He'll be punished by that thing. He will find unhappiness because of that thing. He will find agony and soreness and pain and problems in his life and in his heart because of that thing before he meets Allah. Before he meets Allah. What does he mean by that? فَتَرَبَّسُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِي. And if when he thinks that the punishment in this life is painful, then wait till the one, whatever he meets Allah. And this is the threat. This is the threat. So many times a person, he can look and he'll find that many times with his loved ones and his business and the things that he's hoping to achieve in life, he will look and he will see that sometimes he finds himself unhappy. He was in situations where his heart is in pain and agony and toil and remorse, and his heart is at heartache, is hurting, and he's tired. He's telling himself, I can't take it no more. This is getting too much. I can't hold this. I can't bear. This is because he loves, so his heart is attached to those things besides Allah. His heart is attached to those things besides Allah. So what should he do? He should let go. That doesn't mean to let go and not give them their rights if they're people who have rights upon. No, you give them their rights, but to let go of that attachment and to attach it to Allah. And to look into this affair and to be sincere and to repent for the sake of Allah. And to attach oneself to Allah. And then if he has good, he has good in his family. And he can love his wife. He can love his wife, but he'll never disobey Allah. Or because of his wife. Or put the right of the wife above the right of someone who has a greater right in the decree of Allah over his wife or the husband or the child or the wealth or the job or the money, whatever it is that one he loves that his heart is attached to. And it's allowed to love these things. It's normal to love these things. It's normal that a man, he loves his child, his son, his daughter. But it's the test here is to love Allah more than that. How did Ibrahim reach the status that he reached, alayhi salatu wasalam? What is the status of Ibrahim? And also our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam, the status of Al-Khulla is Khalil al-Rahman. Al-Khulla. Al-Khulla, the people of knowledge, they mentioned this is the highest level of love. Yani in wudu, at-takhlil is to go like this. To make takhlil, to put your fingers inside your fingers like this, and your finger pinky inside your toe, and to parts of your body goes inside other parts like this. That's called takhlil. Like this, to fill in the gaps like this. So the people of knowledge, they mentioned that al-khulla is whenever the mahabba, it goes into the heart until there's no other place for anything else. The love is mixed inside the heart until there's no room. This is the level of Ibrahim alayhi salam and the level of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They reached the level of al-khulla, the highest level of loving Allah and loving for the sake of Allah. But we look at Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, was he tested? Huh? What was the test? Killing his son, sacrificing his son. Who was his son? Ismail. Was he a young boy? Like, was he a baby? His heart is not truly attached to him yet. He didn't spend much time with him. Huh? Was he at the age of a baby? Huh? Or was he an old man? He spent a long life with him. What? Where was Ismail at this time in his life? He was at the age where he was just now strong. He just now started to run along with him. He just now started being a companion with his father. So now at this time they have a strong bond, because if somebody, he lost a child, no doubt whenever they're young, a baby. No doubt this is painful, but he didn't spend a lot of time until the heart gets truly attached. And he with the personality and the likes like that. And then if a person, he lost his child after they had grown old, they have spent a long lifetime with them and they have a lot of memories that are good. No doubt this is hard likewise, but it's lesser. As for whenever the child is at that age, that age when it just reaches the age of puberty and they have a relationship and they're working together and they're moving together and they're advising, and he's advising and teaching and they're growing together like this, at this time, this was the age of Ismail alayhi salam. And Ibrahim alayhi salam, he was tried by slaughtering him. I seen in a dream that I will slaughter you. That I will slaughter you. What do you think? what do you think? This is something one would not want to think about either. Like being cast in a fire. This is something that one, a'udhu billah, from that. But even Ismail, he said, if amma tumar, I will be from the patient. Do what you've been commanded. It's from Allah, and I will be patient. And whenever they both submitted, and then he was prepared to do that. At this time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replaced that, bikabshin alim, with a great ram. So this was a test and a trial. Do you love Allah? This was the great test that he was tried with, alayhi salatu wasalam, and he passed that test. That's how he reached that level. And to love Allah more than one loves his beloved son, more than one loves his beloved daughter, his beloved wife, her beloved husband, all the wealth in the dunya, even in the end, even in the hereafter, those who disobeyed Allah azza wa jal, yani they would like to ransom their souls with everything in the dunya, وَمِثْلُهُ مَعَهُ, and it will never be accepted from them. And they will give up everything in the dunya. When in this life, they're trying to get everything in the dunya, attaching their hearts to all of these affairs. But in the hereafter, to be safe from the punishment, they will give it all up. They'll give it all up. So the point is to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala any more than when he loves everything. More than when he loves everything. And to love for his sake. And that, and this is the reality is shown and displayed in the life of a person whenever there's conflict. whenever there's conflict between that which Allah loves and that which any of the soul loves, and that which the beloved loves, likewise, like this. So a believer, he has to learn the details of the legislation and the rights of the people. The rights of the people, so that he will not violate these rights. So the children have a right, and the husband, he has a right, and the parent has a right, and the mother has a right. So there's rights that take precedence. All of them have rights, but which one takes precedence? Which one takes precedence? Do you understand that? So to give one of their rights and neglecting the right of the other one, this is oppression, and this is hawa, and this is desires, and this is not preferring the love of Allah. Because Allah, He is the one who has given this one His right and that one His right. And Allah, He is the one who said that this right takes precedence. And it's incumbent upon you to give Him His right before His right. And to not deny anyone their rights. You understand that? So therefore, in this application, and it becomes clear, the obligation of loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more, and how to apply that. How to apply that in life. A person, he loves wealth, but he loves Allah more. So therefore, whenever he has the opportunity to carry some goods that are impermissible, or to sell some goods that are impermissible, if he loves Allah more, he will turn away from that. A'udhu billah. A person, he loves his desires. He loves any intercourse and the likes like that. He loves women. And then there's a woman that's beautiful, and she has authority, and she's ready for him. She's calling him, and he loves this thing, and there's no one around. For example, it's an opportunity for him. The one who truly loves Allah Azza wa Jalla, what will he do? Ma'adallah. Huh? Lola an ra'a burhana rabbihi. If it wasn't for the fact that he saw the proof of his Lord, man, he remembered Allah Azza wa Jalla, he turned away from that. But as for the one who advanced upon that, this is because he has showed preference to his desires over the love of Allah. We understand that. Do you understand? Likewise, alcohol and drinking, and likewise looking at any every action. The one who neglected a commandment, the one who perpetrated a prohibition, it goes back to this affair. So the love of Allah should take precedence. It should take precedence. In this manner, the iman will be strong, and the deen will be upright, and the taqwa will be beneficial, and the shahada will be heavy. But according to that, love will determine the deficiency as well. So therefore, iman is love. Asl al-iman al-muhabba, like he said. So therefore, that's another way to look at it. The tree is like this, but the tree is faith, but the tree is love. It's the shahada. How much do you love Allah? How much do you love the shahada? Some people, they're ready to disobey Allah in a moment. In a moment, for a dollar in the dunya. It's because the love of Allah has weakened their heart. This is because the iman is weak in their heart. It's because the Islam is weak in their heart. Like this, and they're ready to sell their deen and back away and disobey Allah in a moment just for a dollar. A dollar bill, $100 bill, or more or less, like this. So this is something, by learning these affairs, a believer, he's able to take himself into account. Again, the point is to be sincere with Allah, to be sincere with oneself. And the only way to truly find happiness and peace is by showing preference to the love of Allah. Because whenever somebody loves something besides Allah, for other than the sake of Allah, then that thing will be a means for his sorrow and grief and toil and agony and hardship and pain. Even if he tastes the sweetness from time to time, and he will be worried about losing that. And then whenever it's gone, he's missing that. And he can't wait, and it's going to tear him apart and wear him out and be the worry and the grief of his heart. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. As for the one who attached his heart to Allah, then he will find nothing but peace and security and happiness, and he will find ease, and he will have a good life and an easy life by the permission of Allah. This is what the Shaykh, he says now. وَأَخْبَرَ فِي هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَنَّ لِلْإِيمَانِ حَلَاوَةً فِي الْقَلْبِ. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has informed in this narration that the faith, it has a sweetness in the heart. Again, before we read, I remembered a point now I was hoping to make. Alhamdulillah. The issue of the sweetness of faith. The heart, the faith, it has a sweetness that the heart it tastes. Just like the food and the drink, it has a sweetness that the tongue tastes. So the same way a person, he can taste a sweet dish and enjoy it and find the delight of that, whenever he tastes something sweet, something delightful, his heart will find joy in that. Alhamdulillah. Even he will try this. This is delicious. And for another person, right? He want to share that with others. Likewise, the faith that has a sweetness. Likewise, the faith that has a sweetness. And the one who's sincere, he would hope others taste that sweetness likewise. But the point now is that sometimes the body becomes sick. Sometimes the body becomes sick. If the body gets sick, sometimes the sweetest and most delicious food become repulsive. Sometimes somebody will be sick in a manner that the delicious foods that normally he loves and he enjoys, he'll be in front of him or offered to him, he cannot take it. Or even if he tasted it, he won't taste the sweetness. It'll be bland for him. And the ability to taste it and to benefit from that food, it will be strict from him because of his sickness. Or else even it will be disgusting to him. He's like, no, I can't have that right now. It's the most beloved food, the sweetest and the best of all dishes. But if he tastes it, he can't taste the sweetness, or totally he will not want to even eat any of it. He can't take it. Similarly like that, the heart in the same manner, that if the heart becomes sick as well, it will not be able to taste the sweetness of faith. It will not be able to taste the sweetness of faith. The heart can become sick, and then the faith and the actions of faith, like salat and siyam and Ramadan and hajj and giving charity and sitting in classes and learning and listening to the narrations and listening to the recitation of the Quran, he will not find a sweetness in that. It will be there. He will be involved in it, but he will not taste that joy. He will not find a joy in that. Rather, that will become heavy for him. It will become heavy for him to sit in a dars. It will become heavy for him for the imam to lead, to recite a page or two in salah. It will be heavy for him to recite the Quran or to study the tafsir. He will not find the sweetness of that. Because of why? Because his heart is sick. Even it can come to the extent that he will reject that. He will not want to be involved in that at all. He'll turn away from that because of the sickness of the heart and the disease of the heart. So therefore, to truly taste the sweetness of faith, the heart has to be good. Just like in order to taste the sweetness of food, the body has to be good. The heart has to be sound. It has to be healthy. Healthy with a revelation. Healthy with iman and faith. Just like the body, it has to be healthy and strong physically. So this is another very beneficial point that people of knowledge, they mention. Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali rahimahullah, he mentioned this specifically in this explanation of this hadith and his explanation of Sahih Bukhari called Fath al-Bari. Not Fath al-Bari by Ibn Hajar, Fath al-Bari by Ibn Rajab. Ibn Rajab rahimahullah ta'ala. So the Shaykh is saying now, so verily the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is informed in this hadith that iman, it has a sweetness in the heart. إذا وجدها العبد سلته عن المحبوبات الدنيوية وعن الأغراض النفسية وأوجبت له الحياة الطيبة. الله أكبر. That the faith, it has a sweetness in the heart. And whoever finds it, the slave, the person who finds it, it will console him and comfort him and cause him to forget the beloved affairs, the worldly affairs that are beloved. It will cause him to forget these affairs or to console him any from these affairs. And this would overcome him and preoccupy him. And this would be his main goal. The one who finds the sweetness of faith. The sweetness of faith, then the beloved things of this life, they will just be instruments for him. And he will use them in order to reach the love of the beloved. And in the love of Allah Azza wa Jalla. In this manner, he finds the sweetness of faith. And also all of the needs of the soul. All of the desires of the soul, the sweetness of faith, the one who finds it will preoccupy him from that. It will console him and comfort him from that. He will not be tried by these things anymore. That which he loves from the worldly affairs, and that which his soul and his heart desires, if he obtains or doesn't obtain it. And the one who has the sweetness of faith, it will comfort him in all of these affairs. And he will rely upon, trust and reliance upon Allah, and faith and hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he will find a good life. This will necessitate for him the good life. فَإِنَّ مَنْ أَحَبَّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ لَهِجَ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ طَبْعًا. Because verily the one who loves Allah and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he will be fond. He will have a fondness in his heart. I mean, his heart will shake out of and rejoice and find a fondness and ease and a good feeling at the remembrance of Allah naturally. It will come normally. Whenever he truly loves Allah Azza wa Jalla, whenever the Quran is recited, it's easy for him to whenever Allah is mentioned, whenever the adhkar are mentioned, whenever the ayat are mentioned, whenever the greatness of Allah is mentioned, his heart automatically moves. It will begin to move because he's tasted the sweetness of faith. And likewise, whenever the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is mentioned in the likes and the sunnah and the affairs, he loves this. He loves this. It will move his heart. He'll be ready to study and to learn and to benefit and to take a reminder and admonition. He'll benefit from the Jumu'ah. He'll come attentively and listen, and he will find a benefit in these affairs in this manner like this. فَإِنَّ مَنْ أَحَبَّ شَيْئًا أَكْثَرَ مِنْ ذِكْرِهِ. Because verily, the one who loves something, then he will mention it a lot. The one who loves something, then he will mention it a lot. And this is the case. And this is why, wallahu a'lam, the wisdom of the supplication of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that it's mentioned that he supplicated more than any other supplication. يَا مُقَلِّبَ الْقُلُوبِ ثَبِّتْ قَلْبِي عَلَى دِينِكَ. O turner of the hearts, make my heart firm on your deen. And on loving you and your messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon your deen. Because if not, the heart will be firm upon other things. And instead of mentioning Allah and finding fondness in that, it will start mentioning these affairs and becoming attached to these affairs. So this is the case. Whenever a person, he loves Allah and his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will find a fond, he will be happy and joyful at the remembrance of Allah. And he normally, easily. And whoever loves something, then he will mention that a lot. Now the case is, he says, وَاجْتَهَدَ فِي مُتَابَعَةِ الرَّسُولِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَقَدَّمَ مُتَابَعَتَهُ عَلَى كُلِّ قَوْمٍ وَعَلَى إِرَادَةِ النُّفُوسِ وَأَغْرَاضِهَا. He said, and also the one who truly loves in this manner, he will strive hard to follow the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, and show precedence to following him over every statement and every desire. So again, he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, فَإِنَّ مَنْ أَحَبَّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ لَهِجَ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ طَبْعًا فَإِنَّ مَنْ أَحَبَّ شَيْئًا أَكْثَرَ مِنْ ذِكْرِهِ وَاجْتَهَدَ فِي مُتَابَعَةِ الرَّسُولِ وَاجْتَهَدَ فِي مُتَابَعَةِ الرَّسُولِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَقَدَّمَ مُتَابَعَتَهُ عَلَى كُلِّ قَوْمٍ وَعَلَى إِرَادَةِ النُّفُوسِ وَأَغْرَاضِهَا. So verily, the one who loves Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will rejoice and find a fondness in his heart at the mention of Allah. And naturally, it will become easy for him. Because verily, the one who loves something, then he will mention it a lot. And also, he will strive to follow the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he will show precedence to following him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam over every statement and over the intent of every soul. And every any desire and everything that one wants. And this is the case. The one who truly loves Allah Azza wa Jal, he will obey him. And the one who truly loves the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will follow him. Even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحِبُّكُمُ اللَّهُ. Say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you truly love Allah, then follow me. Then Allah will love you. Then Allah will love you and forgive you your sins. So a sign of the true love of Allah, and likewise the true love of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is that a believer, he will learn the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam daily, how he moved, what his belief first and foremost in his creed, and likewise how he worshipped, beginning with the salah, the most important action of worship in Islam, after the shahadatain, and beginning and learning his manners and his conduct and with his family and his life, learning the transactions, learning the halal and the haram, that which the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with, learning these affairs, learning the legal ways and the laws of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in every aspect of life, and abiding by that because he loves him, because he believes that he's the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is what that requires and necessitates. مَنْ كَانَ كَذَلِكَ فَنَفْسُهُ مُطْمَئِنَّةٌ مُسْتَحْلِيَةٌ لِلطَّاعَاتِ. And whoever is like this, then his soul will be at rest and tranquil. He will have tranquility and peace in his soul. And he will find the sweetness of obedience. He will find the sweetness of the actions of obedience. قَدْ انْشَرَحَ صَدْرُ صَاحِبِهَا لِلْإِسْلَامِ. This person, his chest has become acceptable to al-Islam. انْشَرَحَ صَدْرُهُ, meaning his chest is wide. But meaning that, he loves Islam. Islam, his heart is full of Islam. His heart, his chest has a great place for al-Islam in his heart. And his chest is wide and accepting Islam in entirety. فَهُوَ عَلَى نُورٍ مِنْ رَبِّهِ. So therefore, he is upon a light from his Lord. وَكَثِيرٌ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And now we take a point here. And this point here is beneficial in a number of ways. And what he's intending here to establish in this text, but just also for a believer to take an admonition. وَكَثِيرٌ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ لَا يَصِلُ إِلَى هَذِهِ الْمَرْتَبَةِ الْعَالِيَةِ وَكَثِيرٌ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ لَا يَصِلُ إِلَى هَذِهِ الْمَرْتَبَةِ الْعَالِيَةِ وَلِكُلٍ دَرَجَاتٌ مِمَّا عَمِلُوا. And many of the believers, they do not reach to this lofty status. And many of the believers, they do not reach to this lofty status. And Allah, He says, and all of them, they will have levels and ranks according to their actions. According to their actions. So the point of the author, again, to clarify, so that we do not lose track, is the definition and the interpretation of iman, and that it increases and that it decreases. That it increases and that it decreases. So here, not all of the people, not all of the believers, they reach this level. And this is something that is known. So therefore, that's an indication at what he is clarifying, that this narration is an interpretation of al-iman, and that it fluctuates. And that it fluctuates. Because some of the people, they do not love Allah and His Messenger more and in the manner that's required. And some of the people, they do not love for the sake of Allah. And they do not do tests for the sake of Allah. And this is the case. So accordingly, and some of them, they find the sweetness of faith, and some of them do not. Some of them, they find it in a greater manner, and some of them in a lesser manner. Some of them more often than others, and the likes like this. So this is the point. But here what we want to learn from and take an admonition is that many of the believers, they do not reach this level. So this is also going back to the clarification of why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He began with الظالمي لنفسه. The majority of them are of this level. So, but a believer, he would not suffice with that. He would take an admonition. He would not want to be like that. He would not want to be from them. He would want to be from those who have the sweetness of faith. He would want to taste the sweetness of faith. If a believer, he's ever tasted the sweetness of faith, he would hope to taste it again. He would hope to remain upon that. And he'll be afraid to lose that. And if he never tasted the sweetness of faith, then let him strive. Let him strive. As the people of knowledge, they mention the greatest thing, the most beautiful thing, and the most delightful thing in this life is at-tawheed. At-tawheed. To truly sing with one's heart, entirely, with one's heart, wholeheartedly, and in his body, and his soul, to empty it out for Allah. To give it to Allah Azza wa Jal, and to comply for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. This, whenever a person does this, he will find the sweetness of faith. He will find a joy that he can't describe or explain. He will find a joy in his heart. He will shake. Maybe his heart will tremble inside and flutter out of joy, and tears will come to his eyes, and he's not sad whatsoever. Rather, he's happy, very happy. And this is from the sweetness of faith. And whenever the Quran enters into the heart, subhanAllah, May Allah give this to all of us and our loved ones. And allow us to taste the sweetness of faith. And allow us to die upon the sweetness of faith. Upon the sweetness of faith. From His grace and from His mercy. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. The point is, it's something to strive for. After this, the author is going to mention another narration clarifying the interpretation of faith. And it is the hadith, which is known as hadith Shu'ab al-Iman. The hadith with regards to the branches of faith. And this is a very beneficial narration and very important narration, especially with regards to this issue. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned that al-iman bid'un wa sab'una shu'bah, a'laha qawlu la ilaha illallah, wa adnaha imatatu al-adha 'an al-tariq, wal haya'u shu'batun min al-iman. That al-iman is 70 some odd branches. And its highest branch is the statement La ilaha illallah. And the lowest level is to remove some harm from the path. And that bashfulness and shyness is a branch of faith. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.